You're tuned into Nerd Overload, your spooky show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more.
Sponsored in part by Warp Zone Video Games and Beyond.
Now your hosts, Cody Pumpkinick, Samantha Crossbones, Sam Dun-Dun-Dunham, and Josh Scarrison.
Boo! Did I spook you? You're listening to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that covers everything from ghosts to goblins. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm David S. Pumpkins.
No, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We got a bunch of news, but first let's get into some things we've been checking out.
Ooh.
Yeah, and this spooky episode of Nerd Overload. Ooh.
We didn't check out anything spooky. Really? Well, I guess, yeah, we watched Class, the new Doctor Who spinoff.
It came on?
Oh, yeah. Two episodes.
Well, not in America, but, you know.
There's ways.
You can find it, you know.
Yeah.
By communing with the afterlife.
Or the internet.
The internet is truly terrifying.
It is. It's a terrifying place. Anyway, was Class good?
Yes, it was very good. It was very Doctor Who, but darker.
It was weirdly violent.
So yeah. It was so like darker Who?
There's like some like gore and lots of blood, what? Actually. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's definitely like a more adult spin on Doctor Who about high school kids. I don't know.
Interesting. So is it like a monster's like running through the school or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, like a monster of the week in the school type of thing.
There's like a tear in the...
In time space around the school.
Okay.
And Coal Hill or something?
Yeah, the Coal Hill Academy.
And that's the school that the original Doctor Who, like, those two teachers,
yeah, the
companions
the original,
were from?
Very first episode.
Right, okay.
And I think it's also the same school that
Clara taught at.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And Danny Pink.
Okay.
Which there's actually a nod to them in the show.
Oh, there is. Oh, okay. Oh, that's good.
Which was cool.
Right on.
And, I mean, the Doctor showed up. He showed up just in time to do the thing that he does, where he has a big philosophical speech about why you shouldn't kill people.
And then
save the day.
Save the day.
It made me want more Doctor Who, which, yeah. That's
not good, because it's forever
it's
away.
It's so far away.
Not till Christmas, and then after that, God knows how long.
Yeah. Hey, I saw on a Facebook post, it's 10 Fridays until Christmas, so...
This is a Halloween episode. Get your Noel out of here.
Well, this is the biggest spook of all. That you only have 10 weeks to get Christmas figured out. Ooh, you're way behind.
Black Friday's coming.
Black Friday in less than a month.
Someone at work called it Good Friday. It was the same person that thought, I shouldn't be talking about this.
There's nothing good about that Friday.
They thought, they like totally misread the ad, that the PlayStation 4s were buy one, get one free.
What?
Oh, jeez.
Like,
wow, that's a heck of a deal.
It was buy one, get a copy of Titanfall 2 for free.
Still, I mean, still good deal, but...
I was like,
not as good a deal.
Yeah, not nearly as good a deal. So that's good. I'm glad Class is good.
Yeah, I'll definitely stick around for more. There's two episodes out. We watch both of them, so...
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Just surprisingly violent is really my only, like... I don't know how much I care for the violence in it.
It seems kind of unnecessary.
Yeah. But...
I mean, it's not keeping me from watching it.
I mean, yeah, not that Doctor Who's not ever been violent, but it's always been kind of like a...
TV violent.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's a family-friendly show, Doctor Who is. This one is not.
No.
Okay, so this is Doctor Who with the limiters taken off a little bit.
It's like,
so.
It's not even like just blood. It's like visceral, like gunk.
Okay.
Like,
well, the monster in the second episode was... stealing people's skin.
Ugh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the gore is really chunky and girth.
Okay.
And people die more often than they do on Doctor Who.
There's been a lot of people dying,
yeah,
actually.
Sure, never mind. Yeah, forget that.
Yeah.
Like at least three or four that I can think of.
So what it's sounding like is like Torchwood with a different setting. Because Torchwood was a more adult Doctor Who-ish kind of thing.
Also, there was a full man's naked butt, too.
Well, it's England.
Yeah.
Something for everyone.
Still, you wouldn't see that on regular Doctor Who.
Well, it's not Doctor Who. Stop.
I guess comparing it to Doctor Who because it's not.
It's not
but the Doctor was on it
for like 10 minutes,
and I knew he was going to be on it, and it distracted me the whole time. I'm like, is he going to show up now? Is he going to show up now?
Where's the Doctor?
Yeah.
Where's the Doctor? God, you might as well be a companion. Martha Jones over there.
Can we talk about the characters or should we wait? Because it's kind of spoilery, but not really.
Well, it hasn't fully released in America yet, so we probably can't get in too deep into the spoilers.
Then there's probably not a whole lot else to say.
Okay,
about
so we'll just leave it there and come back to it when BBC America airs them. Okay.
Whenever that is.
We talked about Yuri on Ice.
I think we talked about Yuri on Ice. Did we talk about that on air?
I don't think so. It doesn't sound familiar.
The figure skating anime?
No.
That's surprisingly good.
Okay.
It's on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, it's simulcast on Crunchyroll, so when one comes out in Japan,
it's on there.
Oh, right on.
It's good. It's really well animated, which you'd have to be if it was a figure skate.
Like, it is amazing looking. Like,
I don't know what to say about it other than it looks really good and
it's surprisingly emotional.
Yeah.
There's one figure skater who's never been like really, really good. I mean, he's good because he's one of the top ones, but he's never like won anything.
But he has the heart of a champion?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay.
But there's one guy who's probably about ready to retire. He's like the best. He wins like everything, but he basically decides to help coach him. But it's...
Sounds like an anime about a sport.
Yeah, well, and sports animes are generally fairly decent.
I don't know how to talk about it. But
yeah.
There's figure skating.
There's
and
some
drama.
Weird sexual tension.
Yeah, between the two. Yeah, between the two leads.
Okay,
it happens.
It's a sports anime that's another thing that usually pops up.
I've been playing the original Zelda a little bit for some reason.
Cool.
Why not?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Hey, you saw Godzilla, right?
Oh yeah, that's right. We can talk about Shin Godzilla.
We can finally talk about Godzilla.
Yeah, let's talk about Godzilla.
I forgot.
Now that we've all seen it.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you think?
I loved it. I thought it was great. It was definitely like political leaning.
Very political. Yeah.
It's like Godzilla smashed up with a political thriller.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool. The Godzilla stuff was really awesome. I love his atomic breath and
that scene was cool, but yeah. I still hate his stupid mouth.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with his mouth. It just has kind of a cut in on the bottom. I mean, it's better than, like, those stupid, like, four-way monster mouths that get used to death anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with that. Like, at least it wasn't that.
Yeah.
I was afraid it was going to be, like, when he opened his mouth and his jaw, like, spread out. I was like, no, don't predator mouth me now.
I think his mouth is based on a whale shark.
Probably. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I could see that. What do you think of Proto-Godzilla?
A little flopping around Godzilla with the big old eyeballs. Yeah,
yeah, the
great.
Googly eyes. Yeah, that was awesome.
I think I might have leaned over to Cody. He was like, that's you.
I like the googly eyes, though, because they were kind of creepy.
They were unsettling. Yeah. They look like fish eyes, like big googly fish eyes with no lids. It's kind of great.
Yeah, and there was like no humanity behind them. Like it was just creepy eye.
Oh, yeah. There is no humanizing this Godzilla.
No.
He is just a force of nature that walks in a straight line and destroys everything in its path. He had no like ulterior motive. He was just, this town is in my way, so I'm just going to walk straight through it.
And a two-week nap.
Yeah, he did take a two-week nap. What'd you think of all the lasers coming out of his tail?
I liked it.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's a weird. I like the one coming out of the tip of his tail. I'm cool with that. But like the weird like
disco ball
like laser pointers out of every point on his back, kind of shooting all over the place. That was, I don't know. That might have been a little much, but overall, I kind of liked it.
It probably was, but I liked it.
It was very visually appealing.
The part when, like, right before he does the actual, like, laser breath and he's just shooting fire out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part was really cool.
That shot where he's standing there and there's fire everywhere.
I think the whole scene, like, my jaw was just, like, open. Like,
yeah.
Like, very, oh, very my cool. God.
Wrecked.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the political part? Because there was a lot of it. A lot of it.
I liked it. It was smart.
Very smart, yeah. And I thought it was okay when I first watched it, but going back and understanding now that it was a lot of it was an allegory for the earthquakes from a few years ago and how the government, I guess, super botched handling it.
It was really, really satirical look at the Japanese government.
Yeah, and that's something I didn't quite catch going into it, which...
Like deeply satirical.
Yeah, I guess like Japanese audiences were doing the equivalent of... Oh,
like oh no,
they would
he
see
did
stuff
it.
Because it was like
we understand that
they understood that they understood that it was Anno taking shots at the Japanese government. What do you think of the American liaison?
I liked her.
She might have been one of my favorite characters, actually.
Like, yeah.
She was real spunky.
She was very spunky.
She got stuff done.
A-okay.
Yeah, her pronunciation was not great.
Was not super awesome.
Honestly, if you were Japanese and were English as a second language even, you probably wouldn't even have noticed.
No. No.
But it's funny for us.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny for us. And it's because it's Japanese directors directing English lines like a Japanese director would direct Japanese lines is what it is. So the pronunciation is kind of all over the place and everything is very broad.
I've seen much worse, though.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
It's definitely not the worst I've seen, but it's not the greatest, but it was enough, I think.
Speedwagon. That was probably the worst.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. But no, I really enjoyed it. It makes me interested to see the next one.
Yeah.
I don't know if Anno's going to be doing the second one or what's going to happen. I don't think he's going to be on the second one in this line just because it took him forever and cost. He went way over budget.
That's what he does. It was very Anno, though. Like,
yeah.
Like, you almost should watch some, like, Evangelion just to...
I'm sure
he would be like, oh.
A lot of like widescreen like destruction shots were his thing.
Just two characters talking and staring out into the distance.
Okay, yeah.
Close up shots of a computer screen with percentages going up.
Just for no reason, yep, those are numbers.
Words on the screen, just throwing words. There was always words on the screen telling you exactly where things were happening.
Yeah, that's the only thing with seeing it subtitled. Sometimes it was kind of hard to read labels and also the words that they were saying. It's kind of hard to catch it.
They were going quick and sometimes the subtitles overlapped the stuff on screen. Yeah, I agree with that.
A lot of the labels don't have the impact that on us than they probably would if we were Japanese and knew where these places were.
Yeah, true.
Because I was thinking about that. If it was like a shot of like downtown somewhere that we knew, it would be a lot more powerful than it just being like, oh, it's the corner of the something whatever prefecture. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what that is.
Right, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
I'll probably buy it when it comes out on Blu-ray.
Depending on the price,
I will because it's Godzilla. And,
do you think they'll do a dub of it?
I hope not.
What? You looking at me?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what a dub of it would, if it would even work.
I don't know.
It'd be really boring.
See, I like dubs, but yeah, and for that particular one, I would think I'd stick with the sub.
It's a very Japanese movie.
Mm-hmm. I would be worried that the dub wouldn't get the tone of the delivery.
True.
Correct. That's the biggest issue that most folks have with dubs. Which again, I usually don't worry about that too much, but in that particular movie, I don't think it'd work.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the end?
Oh, are we going to get full spoiler?
Why not? Yeah, it's out of theaters now, so we might as well.
When he's frozen, and why are there people coming out of his tail?
He's making his own committee.
The ultimate way to get back to against the committee is to form his own.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Maybe that was symbolism for all the people that died during the attack, both the Godzilla attack and the earthquake, or maybe he was creating tiny, tiny Godzillas.
Lizard men.
Yeah, I think they might have had spiky back things on them like Godzilla, so it might have been like people Godzilla.
Yeah.
Well, they're constantly talking about how like he was always evolving during the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had at least 8 different kinds of DNA in him.
Yeah. This is a secret backdoor pilot into the new Star Trek. He was creating the Gorn.
I think this Godzilla is an amalgamation of all the stuff that got irradiated when they dumped all the toxic waste come together into one constantly evolving creature, I think is what it is.
I think so. I think so as well.
And
so.
I think the scientist that fell off, disappeared off his boat, I think he was in there.
That's why he became a little more humanoid.
Yeah, and went after Tokyo.
Yeah, yep. Because that scientist hated Tokyo for, it's like his family, something happened with his family, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, yeah.
That's my theory.
Anyway. Yeah, and that's actually a really smart theory. Now that you say it, it's like, yeah, of course, that makes sense.
But it leaves it open enough for you to think about stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like the whole day after I saw it, I was thinking about this movie. And like it really got in there.
And that's a sign of a really good movie. So, I'll go ahead and do my check it outs real quick. It's close to Halloween, so of course I rewatched my favorite Dracula vampire movie, Blackula, and Scream, Blackula, Scream. Mm-hmm. And I talked about this last year. I'm always trumpeting how well done of a movie Blackula is. And I'll just mention real quick, again, it's really easy to write the movie off because it's called Blackula and because of the time that it was made and the genre that it is.
Yeah.
It's for people who don't know, it's really easy to just go, oh, it's a joke. It's dumb. But it is a smart, well thought out, compelling vampire story with a sympathetic protagonist or antagonist, I guess. He kind of plays both sides of it. It's not overly, like, for lack of a better term, jive. It's very and it's just a really well done movie, and a lot of that is on the shoulders of William Marshall. He was an excellent actor before this movie. This was kind of one of his first breakout roles. Before this, he was doing Shakespeare in off Broadway back then, and so he brought kind of a level of
gravitas,
yeah, to the role, where if it were played by, you know, Richard Roundtree, like Shaft or anything like that, it would be totally different. But it's just a great movie. I would absolutely recommend going and searching it out, because
who's the Dolomite guy? I forget who.
Rudy Ray Moore.
Yeah, Rudy Ray Moore as Blackula.
Oh, that would be. Oh, I would love that for completely different reasons. Now that would be the joke. That would be the joke character.
Yeah.
Plus, if you want to see a horror movie by that, it's by Rudy Ray Moore. Look up Petey Wheatstraw, the devil's son-in-law. Yeah, that's a comedy horror movie, kind of. I guess it's that one's real bad. But the other thing I checked out was a documentary that ran on Showtime. I don't think it's on Netflix or anything yet. It's called "Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead," and it's the it's a documentary on the National Lampoon. Now, most people. Most younger people go, oh, National Lampoon, that's that moniker that they slap on a bunch of direct-to-DVD, like those terrible, like, road trip movies. People our age would go, okay, Vacation, Animal House, that sort of thing.
Christmas Vacation,
yeah. The thing is, it was originally a magazine, and it was a magazine that was, if you take Mad Magazine and, like, amp it up by 1,000 and also add boobs... It was pretty much that. It was a bunch of really, really smart people telling really, really dumb jokes. And it was excellent. It was a monthly magazine, and they each had a different, like, topic. And there's a image that is online whenever people – that's synonymous with National Lampoon, and it's a picture of this dog with this worried look on his face with a gun next to it, and it says, buy this issue or we'll shoot this dog. And it was, like, the cover of the thing. But it was really interesting how it started. It was started as the Harvard Lampoon, and it was like the joke Harvard newspaper that rich white kids wrote until they got through law school and went off and did stuff.
It was the Onion for rich white kids at Harvard.
In the 50s and 60s. Yeah, exactly. And after the two guys that created it graduated, they went and made this really as it turns out, a really lucrative deal to get, like, publishing to make it a national magazine. And they were cranking out, like, 100-page issues every month.
Jeez.
Like, and I guess the parties were, like, crazy. The way they would write it is they would all go out to dinner and just get drunk and wasted and just burn out and come up with, like, a million ideas. And then for the next month, just write, and put the thing out. And it's crazy the way... the whole thing came together. And then at one point it spun out into an off Broadway show, which featured 22-year-old John Belushi and Chevy Chase and Giller Radner and Brian Doyle Murray and Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, like all these big names, like all of the big names in comedy today came from this, and it's really, it was just a really, really interesting documentary, not just for the National Lampoon, but also the one of the two main guys that created it. The guy's name's Doug Kenny. He was kind of, well, really super funny, really kind of troubled. He wrote Animal House. He wrote Caddyshack. He was like one of the two original guys from National Lampoon, and he also committed suicide shortly after Caddyshack.
Ooh.
Well, except no one really knows what happened to him.
Oh.
He was super, super hooked on cocaine, which I guess back then was kind of...
Everybody was.
And he and Chevy Chase were super, super, super good friends. And Caddyshack, when it was released, bombed. People think of it now as like a huge...
Classic.
It tanked.
Huh.
So he and he was... And Kenny was getting super depressed over it. So he and Chevy went to Hawaii to try to just get out. Just get out, try to clear your head, just, you know, try to de-stress. Chevy Chase came back to the U.S. to do a little bit of work. 2 days later, he got a call. We can't find Doug. So he flies back out to Hawaii and find him at the bottom of what is the Hawaii's version of the Grand Canyon, basically. So no one knows whether he slipped and fell while climbing. No one knows if he jumped. Some people think he might have had a drug deal that went bad and was pushed. There is a theory, although it doesn't come up in the documentary, but there is a theory that Chevy Chase had a hand in it, that somehow Chevy Chase might have pushed or something happened, and he conveniently decided to leave because he was out there to watch Doug Kenny, and all of a sudden he just kind of leaves for a couple days.
He has a convenient alibi.
And it's interesting to kind of see the rise and fall of the magazine, because at one point, Al Jean and one of the other Simpsons guys came out of college, started writing for the National Lampoon, and eventually it kind of fizzled out. One of the biggest one of the first big downturns for the National Lampoon was Saturday Night Live, because they had this off-Broadway thing and they didn't sign any of the National Lampoon's Radio Hour, and it was all this crazy, you know, going nuts doing stuff. And they didn't sign any of the actors to, like, exclusivity.
Oh, no.
So when Lorne Michaels came in and said, hey, we have a little more money to give you to come over here and just do Saturday Night Live, all of their acting troupe split.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, they're gone. All their after Animal House hit and was huge, 90% of the writing staff all got movie deal writing jobs to write clones of Animal House. So they all left. The two main guys ended up making about $7 million on this deal because they had, they made a ton of money. As soon as they got their money, they left. So, like, it was like the downturn of everything. It's just a really interesting documentary, and I would definitely recommend anyone checking it out. I've talked too long.
Fine. It's fine.
It was interesting.
I mean, it's always nice when you are talking about something you are passionate and have a lot of knowledge about.
See, that's the thing. I love comedy, and I love the history behind comedy. I think that's one of the most fascinating things, because everyone knows the jokes. I can sit here and recite Animal House to you. I can, you know, I love comedy, but I love hearing what was going on behind the scenes of...
Yeah, what made that happen?
What were the things that all came together perfectly, like, fit together to make this, like, seminal classic, you know? Because without National Lampoons, there'd be no Ghostbusters, because at one point, the off-Broadway show was Bill Murray, John Belushi, Harold Ramis, all being directed by Ivan Reitman.
So it was proto-Ghostbusters.
Proto-Ghostbusters. There would be no Blues Brothers. One of their comedy albums was called The Lemmings, which was like a Woodstock kind of making fun of thing with John Belushi and Christopher Guest doing a James Taylor. And yeah, like, Christopher Guest was like one of the main, he could have very easily have been one of the original Saturday Night Live cast, believe it or not, because he was part of that group. And I love that behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. I think it's fascinating. So,
and it's kind of crazy, like, how many of these people went on to do SNL and then later on became like giants of 80s comedy and early 90s comedy.
Oh yeah. It was the beginning steps of, like, everything we know about comedy today. But no, it was kind of interesting. One of the only modern creators that they were talking to, like, was one of the only ones that wasn't connected to the National Lampoon was Judd Apatow. And he just flat out said, if it weren't for this, like, my stuff wouldn't happen. And I agree with him.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I've talked too much about this, so let me wrap it up.
Let's see, what have I done?
What have you done?
You got your fancy new 3DS.
I know, yeah. I got my fancy new 3DS.
Yeah.
I want it, I'm so jelly.
It's super
Which
pretty.
Means you played the Pokemon demo?
Yes, I
Which
have.
Which maybe we should talk
we
about
We should go ahead and talk
after,
about after the break. Yeah, we can do that.
Oh, I got this game on Steam. It's a little weird one. It's called like Oh Sir or something like that. And it's an insult game.
What?
Okay.
Where you play like these weird pixelated British characters and you insult each other.
Nice.
To see who insults the one the best. And you get, like, there's like this drop down of like different phrases to click to build your insult.
Do like the other players vote or?
No. You're both picking from the same list of words. And so, like, when you pick a list, when you pick a word, it disappears and so on and so forth to build this thing. And depending on how you string it together and what, and if you hit a nerve and, like, the characters you play as have different things they are sensitive about.
Oh,
gotcha. Okay.
You can deal extra damage to them.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like fun, actually.
Yeah, it's really cheap, too.
Even better.
But it's, it's interesting. It's weird. I played it for, like, an hour yesterday, just goofing off. There's a whole bunch of, like, Monty Python references.
Of course.
It seems fitting.
Yeah, like, there are, like, achievements if you can string together a Monty Python quote.
Excellent.
Like, at one point, they're like, there's one scene or whatever that you can pick from. It's a pet shop, and it's straight up the dead parrot sketch.
This parrot is no more.
It has ceased to be. It has shed its mortal coil. Oh, it's just sleeping. But no, it's a bad little game. I don't know. I was just kind of flipping through Steam, and I was like, this sounds weird. I like it. There's like a bunch of different characters you can unlock and whatnot. You can either play against the computer or you can play against real people.
Cool.
Or one other person. So there was that. Oh, I read another webcomic I like, too.
Okay, cool.
It's called The Strange Tales of Oscar Zahn.
Huh.
And it's really cool art style. He is kind of like a Hellboy-esque kind of thing, where it's like there's a lot of supernatural elements. But Oscar himself is a supernatural element. He is a...
He's a grouch.
No. He is a floating skull.
Okay.
With a British accent.
Is he grouchy?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
He's very British.
Well, you lost me.
he's very British. And he hunts ghosts. That's his thing.
He's a floating skull ghostbuster?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And, like, at one point he, like, falls down and, like, hits his head. And when he does that, he, like, passes out for, like, a second. And so his whole, like, he's just a floating skull. But he has clothes and, like, his, I don't know, whatever force makes him up, like, dissipated. So it's just a pile of clothes, like, laying on the ground. And so then he, like, picks himself back up or whatever. It's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting. It's a little weird. Like, sometimes it has a very, like, kind of Hellboy-esque art style. Mm-hmm. And right now he is, like, in what he's dealing with World War One stuff, and that art style is kind of almost like a gritty Archie kind of thing.
Okay.
Not quite like the Archie like reboot, but more like kind of like
classic Archie
style, but like a darker, grimier kind of thing.
Got it.
Magnolia meets Dan Parent.
Yeah, kinda.
That's interesting.
No, I'm really liking it.
I mean, it sounds cool.
It does.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out as well.
Oh yeah, it's definitely I guess that's my spooky pick.
Oh,
right on.
I didn't really think about it.
Yeah, one of us has a spooky themed pick.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he watched horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
I watched a horror movie,
Blackula.
And you talked about...
Spooky Doctor Who.
Yeah, so we're good.
So I guess, yeah,
we're good. We've hit the Halloween quota, I think so. Let's go ahead and take a break here.
We Halloweeners.
Yeah, yes, we are. We certainly are. So let's go ahead and take...
It's
time for the break!
Cody, you're on...
Perfect.
Nailed it. Prison.
Okay, we will be right back, guys.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by Warp Zone, video games and beyond. Warp Zone is the place for all your gaming needs, like modern, vintage, and import video games, as well as gaming collectibles. Warp Zone, video games and beyond is located at 4496 Cemetery Road in Hilliard, 614-219-1997, and Warp Zone on Facebook.
All right, we are back. That was Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett. That was a nice 2.5 minute break. Totally wasn't like, you know, a couple hours at all. No, that was a 2 minute. Just that's it.
Yep.
Real short one. Anyway, we have Pokemon news, guys.
Of course we do.
Surprise, surprise. It's Pokemon news. The new demo is out, and it's pretty rad.
It is really rad. I have been really enjoying the Pokemon Sun and Moon demo.
Demonstration software.
Yes, very cool. It takes about half hour
half
or so?
Half hour, which is pretty generous for a demo.
Yeah.
Better than the Yo-Kai Watch demo that was 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
It's garbage.
Yeah,
kind of, yeah. I like that it gave us an introduction to Z-moves, which is cool. I like that it...
Man, that Pikachu Kamehameha was pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. And that's the electric type generic one. There's a specific Pikachu one.
Where the trainer just like throws him, Pikachu.
Just throws him.
Fastball special Pikachu.
Pretty much, yeah. Did that. It introduced you to the professor, which is cool. I like how the professor is like... He's a surf dude, and all the professors have like specific like things that they are researching. That is basically what the specialty of the game, like the special thing for the game, is.
Yeah.
Like Sycamore was a evolution professor because of Mega Evolutions. This one is the Z move professor basically,
yeah.
And he explains that he is he's testing it by having random Pokemon hit him with different moves. So he just kind of stands out in a field. I can just picture him standing out in a field, like getting pelted with like bullet grass seed or whatever, yeah. And like tackle and all that other crazy stuff.
Pikachu.
Cut me, Pikachu.
I'm just imagining him like standing in the middle of a meadow, like the freaking Joker in The Dark Knight. Come on, hit me.
Just getting super into it.
Yeah, bro! Do you even Razor Leaf? Oh, God.
Yeah. The animation in it is fantastic.
It is. It's very, very good.
Characters are, the trainers themselves are really expressive, mm-hmm. along with the Pokemon.
Yes.
And the faces, and the music, everything was just...
Oh, the music is excellent.
Team Skull music is the best.
Yeah, I love
Team
Skull
theme. Like, just moving around.
Yeah. They are super,
their faces.
Great.
You can't see their mouths, but their eyes are all doing stuff and swinging their arms around like they're...
Oh, yeah. I like how they were showing off the fluidity of the animation with B-boy style.
B-boy skeletons.
B-boy skeletons, yeah.
I think David Pumpkins should be a Team Skull trainer.
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
That would be great.
Can we just get like David Pumpkins as like the mascot of the show, like forever.
That would be great. Yeah, Tom Hanks as David Pumpkins.
If anybody doesn't know, there was the SNL sketch recently where Tom Hanks was this weird character, David Pumpkins.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, look it up.
It was the best.
It's called like Haunted Elevator.
Yeah, really, really funny stuff.
Like, any questions?
Any questions? Yeah. But no, the demo's really good, and I like how they're making you come back to it. There's like different timed
events
within the demo.
Yeah. And that's really cool. And you're getting like little extra things that you just sell for extra cash. It kind of gives you not really an edge on the game when you start it off, but
you're not as bare bones.
Yeah. And that's cool.
Also, did you notice like the amount of PokeCash you were getting from like the trainer battles?
Oh, you were getting quite a bit.
It was really ridiculous.
Yeah, they were really, it's
8,000, 6,000.
I wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah, they're kind of, that kind of makes the game a little easier because you're not fighting to like buy things.
Unless
item management is not
unless
really
the thing. Prices are going to be outrageous.
That's true. They could explain that too because it's Hawaii.
It's a resort region.
Yeah,
well, it's an island. They have to import everything.
Yeah, Pokeball might be $1,000. Who knows?
Oh, you notice that Heal Ball?
Yes.
Yeah, that was in other games.
Was it?
It was. Yeah.
God, it's been a long time since I played. Yeah, other generations.
I know, right?
You got to use it so you can catch more guys during that catching minigame.
Mm-hmm. And there's actually a thing that they said with the game where if you catch more than six, what it'll do is when you catch it, it will ask you. It won't send it directly to your box. It'll ask you if you want to put it into your potty.
Flush it right down.
Just flush that Pokemon right down the toilet. No, put it in your party or send it to your box.
Yeah, it does.
Yep, and you can actually look at stats, too, so that you can compare. Like, if you're just trying to catch, like, the perfect, you know, whatever, bird or whatever, you can compare stats and see which bird is better, and you can choose to send the other one to the box to be released later or whatever.
Or get ground into candy like in Pokemon Go.
But I think that's really cool. Yeah. I think it's neat.
Speaking of Pokemon Go, there's a Halloween update on that.
There is a Halloween update, and it's pretty neat. It actually makes the game playable.
Yeah.
A bunch of ghost types and like spooky type Pokemon have been popping up everywhere.
Like, I don't run in enough drowsies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, drowsies are kind of a problem around here, but...
And extra candy for just about everything.
Just about everything. You get double candy for everything you catch, and it's four times your buddy Pokemon generates candy four times faster. So if
you're still playing,
yeah,
and you really want to boost up whatever,
now's the time.
Now's the time.
I've actually dropped back into it recently, yeah, because of this event.
So I hope they keep doing it.
Different events. I took a walk yesterday because of it. I actually caught enough ghosts to make a Gengar, which was pretty great.
That loading screen
is pretty rad.
Yeah.
That scary Gengar.
Oh yeah, very very cool.
Oh, and they also released a new trailer showing more of the Sun and Moon.
The final evolutions are officially revealed.
Yeah.
Blue
and red are coming back, and that's really cool.
Yeah, the original two trainers, and they gave them new designs. They look like cool adults.
Yeah. Yep.
They're finally us.
I hope Red doesn't talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I bet he doesn't. Yeah. I don't think they'd make him talk.
Yeah. So, but no, that's really exciting stuff. I'm into it. I'm ready. I don't need to see any more trailers.
Yeah.
I'm done.
It's not that much.
Yeah, it's not that much longer. A couple weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
I can't believe the Rowlet final is a ghost plant.
Yeah, that's super great. It's very, very cool.
It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Into it.
And now that I've seen the final Litten, I've warmed up to it.
I have too.
No pun intended.
It's a wrestler. It's an evil wrestler.
With dark.
Yeah. The typing is the heel Pokemon. Like,
really?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, heel as in like wrestler heel.
Wrestler heel. Okay. Yeah. And he has a move called Darkest Lariat. That's super great.
Oh,
I'm in.
Man.
Yeah, I'm back to Litten again.
Yeah, I'm super in.
I was a Rowlet boy from the beginning, and now I'm going to keep going.
I don't know.
I say go for the mermaid.
I don't know.
All right, so let's switch gears a little bit.
Did you say switch
gears? I did say switch gears.
Oh!
Nintendo announced what the NX is, their next console, their seventh generation console.
And it's called the Switch.
Yeah, the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, it's a good name-ish.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than Wii U.
Yeah, it's a something.
Yeah, I'm glad they dropped the Wii branding.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of run its course.
Someone said on Twitter that there's one like angry old bored guy that's mad they didn't call it the Switch.
The Switch. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. But this console is interesting. It's a it's like a modular thing almost.
Yeah,
like
it's like a kind of like the Wii U tablet.
Kind of. It is a touchscreen they have announced.
Yeah, I saw that earlier. Yeah,
it's a 720p, so it's pretty high res, which is good.
But it docks into a dock that puts it on your TV. So it's both a home console and you can take it anywhere.
And it does upconvert it to 1080p, from what I understand. And the dock may or may not have extra GPU, which will make the games run a little smoother.
There's still a lot we don't know.
Yeah. And end of January, they're actually going to have a direct and talk about it, from what I understand.
Yeah.
We know the controllers come off.
The controllers are kind of rad. They pop off of the main controller and slide onto the tablet so you can take it on the go, or pop off and use them.
They are the main controller because they
yeah, because they also snap into another controller
yeah,
base.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. But
it's crazy. There's gonna be a lot of broken little plastic tabs.
Oh yeah, I want to know how like sturdy those connectors are on the sides of both the Switch screen and on the mini controller.
Yeah, well, it's a Nintendo product, so I would assume it's pretty sturdy. They're always really good about that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I miss the GameCube. That thing was a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a cute little handle.
Yep.
But I'm excited for the Switch.
I hope there's multiple colors, because I kind of want to like mix and match
stuff. There probably will be eventually.
Probably, yeah.
But I doubt it at launch.
Boo. Yeah.
It makes me wonder what kind of storage capacity this thing is going to have. Like, everything, all the storage is going to have to be in the screen.
Yeah.
Which may or may not like drop what exactly you can do with that.
Or it's in the little handy things.
Maybe, but then...
But they come off, and then, like, would it transfer data through Bluetooth? Or
That would really slow it down.
Oh, true.
If anything, the batteries are going to be in the handles. I can see Nyko putting out, like, a third-party, like, battery extender.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it has to have a good battery life. It's going to live or die on how long that battery
I've heard about 3 hours of constant play.
That's not bad.
Not off the dock. Yeah, it's not bad, but for major commuters, that might be kind of an issue. Then again, you have your 3DS for that.
Yeah.
At least for now. At least for the next year.
And that battery lasts forever.
Kind of. Yeah.
Three to five,
I guess. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's cartridge, too.
Yeah, cartridge-based. It is cartridge-based. Which I don't think it's going to be backwards compatible. And mostly because when you're playing it at home and you have it in the dock, you don't have that screen. So you're not going to have the Wii U... two screens thing going on.
Yeah, and that kind of bothers me for a lot of the downloadable like indie games that I have on the Wii.
Yeah,
right,
what's gonna happen
with all of that? Are we just gonna be out all those?
I don't really want to rebuy the virtual console games that I have.
No, same here. I'm kind of concerned about Lego Dimensions.
Yeah, what the heck's gonna happen with that?
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely not going to be able to take that game on the go because you have to have the base, but will the Wii U base plug into the other? Or because if I have to rebuy everything, then I'm done. I'm out. I will sell them all and be done.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame that.
It's insane.
I don't know what their solution will be. I mean, I could see the base still working because it's just USB.
It's USB, sure.
But I don't know how the game would you have to buy the game again? Would they even bother to do that? I don't know.
Who knows?
Is it even that popular that they would do that?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's definitely been a success for them. It's not like hugely popular, but it makes some money, pretty sure.
It's more of a success than Disney Infinity was.
Yeah. Well, plus they're Legos, and you build them and you can play with them.
Yeah.
Sure. Disney Infinity were essentially little plastic statues.
Yeah.
What, you mean like Amiibos?
Which are also confirmed. I don't know if it's confirmed, but they were in the trailer.
They have to work. They
He's really pushing for
they,
it.
They have hey, to work.
We've discontinued Amiibo support.
Yeah, we're going to continue to make Amiibo, but we're discontinuing support for them.
That'd be so funny.
Yeah.
They're no longer toys to life. They're just toys.
They're
now.
Just toys. Immovable toys. Tiny statues. Yeah. I don't know. I'm into it. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm down for day one purchase.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more about it.
I'm on a list.
Oh, you are? Really?
I'm on a call list.
Oh, right on.
Pre-order it as soon as it's available.
Nice. I may or may not be day one. I don't know. Just I have a lot of factors. Lego Dimensions, believe it or not, is a big factor. Because if they have a solution for that, or at least have an idea of a solution, I will trade everything. I'll trade the Wii in and just be done. Go switch everything. But
the switch.
That is.
Oh my god! Do you think that'll be their? You think that'll be their tagline?
Make the switch. Probably. Yeah.
I'm
do like the logo
that.
For it too. Like the weird yin yang.
Yeah,
kind
that's
of thing
cool.
With the Joy-Cons.
Yeah, that's the name of the little mini controllers. They're Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
That was so Japanese and weird.
Yeah. Well, it's like the gun con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Joy-Cons, do you think that games are going to have specific Joy-Con like peripherals that come with the game?
That would be cool. Somebody did a mock-up of that. Mm-hmm. Like. One for Yo-Kai Watch that has a dial.
Yeah,
I saw that, yeah.
That would be cool. I mean, I'd be for it.
Yeah, I would be too.
It's an innovative idea.
Yes.
Maybe like a fishing one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can play Sonic Adventures.
Yeah. They're going to make a special Big the Cat game.
Froggy. Yeah.
They showed a little bit of a Mario game that looked really, really cool.
It did.
Oh, man.
It was like literally just 2 seconds.
Yeah. But it looked an awful lot like Mario 64, like updated Mario 64.
And it's about time we got another Mario like that.
Mainstream open world. Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's move on to some like quick hits, like super 2 seconds on these. Muppet Babies is coming back.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I remember watching Muppet Babies. I know what Muppet Babies are. I could not tell you anything about Muppet Babies.
Oh, I loved Muppet Babies.
Yeah, I did
the
too.
Only episode of Muppet Babies that I really remember are the one where they basically played Star Wars.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. That one sounds familiar. I remember there's like a closet that they would open up and there was like old black and white movies.
Yeah.
And I remember Ro-Man, the robot monster, was in one of those, which was cool. But yeah, it's going to be for the kids. Again, it's going to be being retooled for like a learning.
Disney Junior?
Disney Junior is going to be like a pseudo learning style kind of show. And that's fine. That's cool. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I love that show growing up. I'd watch it every day when they rerun it on Nickelodeon.
If I had children that I knew of, I would be. I would let them. I'd be okay with them watching that. That's cool.
And it'll be CG. So
whatever.
It'll probably be that CG puppeting.
Yeah,
that Jim Henson Company does, where mm-hmm. it's a combination of actual puppetry and motion capture.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that would be cool. Okay, another quick hit. Incredibles 2 is getting moved up.
Yay! Yeah.
I love The Incredibles. I want to say it's probably one of my favorite Pixar movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the writing was amazing, and the story was great. I don't really need another Toy Story.
No, Toy Story 3 pretty well wrapped up.
Yeah, they're moving Incredibles up and Toy Story back.
They're flip-flopping the release dates. Yeah. Yeah, I have the dates here. It's June 15th, 2018 for Incredibles 2 and June 21st, 2019 for Toy Story 4. So about a year difference.
Other than Disney executives, who asked for Toy Story 4?
Well, that's pretty much
well,
it.
Who asked for all those Cars movies?
Kids,
unfortunately.
Disney.
Yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy.
I still have never seen Cars 2. I have no interest.
Cars 2, no, not really. It's not. It's
it
not
had Michael
great.
Caine in it.
Nah. But not like actual Michael Caine, just voice, car voice Michael
car
Caine.
Car Michael Caine.
Car Michael Caine. I like that. Nice. I like that a lot. Speaking of movies and people being in them,
as they do.
See, this is what you guys were missing last week.
Yeah,
the seamless transitions. Donald Glover has been officially cast as young Lando in the Han Solo movie.
He landed it.
Yeah,
space capes for everyone.
Well, what have we here? It's Donald Glover.
I can't think of anybody better to play young Lando, honestly.
I'm
That's
in
awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's totally great. And yeah, just picturing Donald Glover with a tiny mustache. Yeah,
or maybe he won't have his mustache yet.
Oh, yeah, maybe he'll just have some peach fuzz.
Maybe we'll learn how he gets his mustache.
Yeah, that's the secret origin of the mustache and powder blue cape. But no, it kind of gives me a little insight into what the movie is going to be about, because if Lando's in it, and we know Han got the Millennium Falcon from Lando...
In a card game,
at what point we might see Han actually getting the Falcon?
I'm really hoping it's kind of like a heist movie, like the Lando comic.
Yeah. I kind of am, too. Because that comic is
great.
It is good.
I love the Lando comic.
There'll be a part where Lobot's just like, you know what, Lando? You look real good with a mustache.
I know, right? Yeah.
I think you should at least try it.
Yeah. So while we're talking about movies, Deadpool, the director of Deadpool, what is his name? Let me look that
up. Oh, Tim.
Tim Deadpool.
Conway.
Tim Miller, that's it. He has decided to walk off of Deadpool 2, and that's kind of a real bummer. Kind of makes me a little worried about the movie. I guess it's creative differences with Ryan Reynolds. They had two different ideas of how it's going to go.
I mean, it is kind of weird, like, and you wonder who was more responsible for making that movie real good. Nobody, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I know Ryan Reynolds went a long way in making it Deadpool.
Okay, from the way it sounds, Tim Miller had an idea for the project that would have cost about three times as much as the first Deadpool movie. It was going to be a big blockbuster action movie, and Ryan Reynolds was like, No. I don't see Deadpool going that way. Let's keep a smaller budget. Let's just make a more a solid comedy and not spend a ton of money.
Well,
instead
hopefully.
Of making it like every other superhero movie,
yeah.
Which is what it's from the way it sounds, that's what Tim Miller kind of was pushing for, is to make it more homogenized to the Marvel style, like big budget, big action.
Oh, well, thank God. Yeah, I don't want that.
In that case, yeah, I'm on Reynolds' side.
Yeah.
Hopefully they have enough money to actually get, more gun props.
Yeah. Yeah, so they can leave him in the back of that taxi again.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's good for comedy, repeating jokes.
Yeah.
Repetition. That's it.
Tried and true.
Yep. Do the joke until it's not funny, and then it loops back around to being
funny
again.
Yeah, then
do
it a couple more times.
Yeah, just hammer it home. Yeah.
Repetitious jokes. Just repeating.
Just repeating the jokes over and over again.
I mean, get those jokes repeating.
You got to repeat them just over and over and over until they start being funny again.
Yeah, and then there's going to be a point where it's just really not funny.
It's not
going to
be funny,
all.
But then after a while, you repeat it and it starts getting funny again. See, it's working. It's working right now. You just got to repeat the jokes.
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dead Horse Overload.
Speaking of repeating jokes, there's a trailer for Logan, the new Wolverine movie.
Hey, call that a repeating joke, but you know, that trailer looks really good.
It does look really good. Yeah. They hit all the high points. It has your Wolverines, your Professor X's, the song Hurt covered by Johnny Cash, which has to be in every serious pseudo-Western style movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
it looks good. I like it.
I think it's going to be more of a dramatic film than it is an action film.
It's not going to be a superhero movie, for sure. For sure not going to. The villain is Donald Pierce, who is a longtime X-Men villain. But it looks really interesting, and it looks like it is taking, from what I understand, it's taking place in this is going to be really hard to explain.
The darkest timeline?
It takes place in the darkest timeline. In Days of Future Past, the universe, like the timeline split, where you have the timeline where the Sentinels came back and killed all of the mutants, and then you had the one where Wolverine went back in time and saved
fixed
the day.
Everything.
Fixed it, basically.
And then the one where Link doesn't kill Ganon.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
That's a good joke. Yeah. I like that one. Yeah. The child Link and adult Link.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this movie takes place at like the end of the dark Sentinels killed all the mutants and humans timeline.
This is the bad end.
This is the bad end. Franchise. Yeah, this is the one where you failed all the QTEs and you got the bad ending.
Yeah.
And it looks really great. Hugh Jackman with a beard. It looks like his healing factor is not working quite right, which is kind of great.
Which is on par for Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
And just Hugh Jackman's pretty great.
Hugh Jackman is great.
After seeing the nice guys, which is in a great movie,
mm-hmm.
and he was in that, and he was really good in that, I'm just like, you know what? He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's a good actor.
He has a lot of charisma.
I liked him in Les Mis.
He was very good in Les Mis. Kate and Leopold, believe it or not, is not the worst romantic comedy I've ever seen.
No. A shining recommendation.
A shining, yes. Stellar. Just a stellar recommend. It looks good. I'm in.
I mean, I know Patrick Stewart is aged, but man, they do really up making him really old.
It's a weird situation where they have to take 80-year-old Patrick Stewart and give him old man makeup because he is too spry and in shape for to be an actual 80-year-old.
Too handsome.
Well, there was that planet in the one movie where he gets a little younger again.
Yeah, that's true.
The Star Treks, but I don't know, like. He's sitting there like in that bed. I'm like, I don't want to think about old man Patrick Stewart. It makes me sad.
Yeah.
It's bumming me out.
Yeah. You want to remember him as buff grandpa Patrick Stewart like he is now. Have you seen pictures of
him? Oh, I know. And you know.
He's like Jack LaLanne.
Only one Enterprise ship had a gym.
Yes. Nice. That's a good joke.
And the fact that, you know, they're bringing in X-23.
Yeah.
Which, I'm pretty sure I called it like a while ago.
Yeah.
When Hugh Jackman said he was done being Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the way the comics went, where, you know, after Wolverine was gone, X-23 took over the mantle of Wolverine.
Sure. She is. She still is.
Yeah, she is the Wolverine.
Yeah. Which is something interesting. They've kept him dead for over a year, and I did not expect that.
I know, right? I mean, Deadpool didn't last 2 months.
No. But no, this movie looks really good. I'm interested to see, as much as I want to see this movie, and I'm going to see this movie, I'm interested to see what they do with Wolverine, the character, after this movie, because this is it for Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
And this can't be it for the character Wolverine. Wolverine's going to keep going. So it makes me wonder if they're going to reboot the X-Men line, or if they're going to just kind of introduce another Wolverine and not talk about it. They can do a Val Kilmer thing where they introduced him as Bruce Wayne instead of, and just not, we just don't talk about it. Yeah, you don't look like Beetlejuice at all. No, never mind, don't think about it.
Think about it.
I think they're just gonna go with the X-23 path.
The thing is I don't see them continuing the dark future beyond Logan. I see this as the end point.
Maybe
they'll probably just reboot the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Jennifer Lawrence said she was done, too.
Yeah. She is. I know Fassbender is about there. I think the only one of the first class cast that really kind of wants to stick with it is McAvoy, which, okay, cool. He's fine.
Yeah. No, I like him.
Yeah. Keep him around. Sure.
They should just strike a Spider-Man style deal with
and
Marvel Disney.
You want to be honest? I think within the next 5 or 6 years, we're probably going to see something like that, because in 5 or 6 years, that's going to line up to Avengers Part 2, or Avengers, the fourth movie or third movie Part 2, however they end up working it, where they're going to bring
Phase 8.
Everybody. Yeah, they're going to bring everybody together. And what better way to do that than to also push the X-Men in everything?
It could also help save the X-Men comics.
It could. Although X-Men comics are coming back.
They are.
Generation X is coming back, and that's super great. And there are a handful of other ones that are super, super good, too.
Also, there is the X-Men versus the Inhumans storyline.
Well, yeah.
But, event.
I'm tired of heroes fighting heroes.
Oh, I know, right?
I get so tired of it. It was interesting the first 10 times. But in this particular case, the repetition doesn't work.
No.
Repetition just doesn't work this time.
Sometimes it doesn't matter how many times you repeat it.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. And you know what else doesn't work as well in this case? Callbacks.
Yeah, I mean, they're not always going to be a hit.
No, they're not. Repetition and callbacks. Anyway, we have one last thing, and it's super quick.
Wait, do you think in Logan, Hugh Jackman's going to do some Hugh Jackman?
I think he's definitely going to do some Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman's going to do some Hugh Jackman. Yes. Oh, great. Perfect. Last thing, and this just came in the last half hour or so. I guess Twitter is shutting down their Vine service. Vine was a video service where you recorded, 10 seconds?
I don't even know if it was that.
Yeah, it was 8 seconds or something like that, maybe. I don't know.
It was, short little few-second things.
Yeah, that would be played on a loop, and they're very memeable. They're meme-ready. You can just look at them and laugh and watch them about a half dozen times in a minute and be content. There are some performers that have become super famous for doing the vines, and they're shutting down the service, and that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, it wasn't a huge failure or anything. I mean, it wasn't a smashing success, but it was definitely a thing.
I think the problem is there's no way to really put advertising.
Yeah, you can't monetize that.
No one's going to watch a minute and a half ad for something to watch an 8-second vine of a dog taking a poop or something. It's not gonna work. What they have said is that they're not going to, it's not all of the old videos are
sorry,
not going
you
to
got
dis-
me with dog taking poop.
what they've said is that they're not going to drop all of the vines that are already up. They're not going to disappear from the web. They're going to be up there forever, or at least until they decide that they need the server space for something else. The Vine stars are going to be able to download videos of all the videos that they've done, so that you're going to see a bunch of YouTube compilations.
Yeah,
they already have those.
Yeah, but you're going to see a lot more of them, I bet.
They can take their
months.
5 years of work and put it together and have a really good 3-minute YouTube video.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It is what it is, I guess.
It's the evolution of social media.
Yeah. I guess everybody saying that people want things quicker and faster and more bite-sized in this particular case didn't quite work out, because I know there was, because we are budding YouTubesters.
Producers?
We're content creators, believe it or not. And I know that there was a little bit of a rumbling, what's going to happen to YouTubers, because Vine was picking up so much steam. And as it turns out, people like long form content a little more, I guess. And that's great. It's great for us.
Yeah. Well, you can't form that kind of weird relationship with the content creators that you do with YouTube, where you know who this person is and what they put up. And
yeah,
you can't do that in the short videos. So.
Unless you put up 100 vines.
Yeah.
Like Marlo Meekins. She put up a ton of them. And I have a pretty good idea of what she's about. Loves those dogs. Yeah.
And dressing like Ariel.
And dressing like Ariel, apparently, yeah. But no, that's, I don't know, is that it?
I think.
Okay, I think that's it, so let's go ahead and
unless you wanted to repeat something.
No, I don't think I need to repeat anything. Speaking of repeating things, I'm going to repeat my end of show that I do every week. Repetition, you guys, repetition, it's great. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. Where we're not punching our mics.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com. Send us your thoughts, wishes, dreams.
Darkest emotions.
Your old retro video games. Josh needs them. Yeah.
You can tweet at us at @nerd_overload and follow our YouTube channel we just talked about, Nerd Overload TV. There's a Pokemon Let's Play we just put up on there the other day.
Yeah.
We're particularly proud of.
I'm pretty proud of that thing. Yeah. It was pretty funny if you asked me, but you know,
go check it out.
Yeah. Anyway, we're also on iTunes and Stitcher. And so give us ratings and reviews over there if you'd like. We have five. We have five of them.
Nice.
Yeah. Two reviews, but five, 5-star ratings. So Ooh. Far we have the streak. Five stars. Five
don't break the streak. No, don't break the streak. Keep it going.
Yeah, keep it going. Anyway.
Pay it forward.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by Warp Zone, Video Games, and Beyond.